rely on that which is unique about your place and that which is authentic and build upon all that authenticity, right? We already got a Las Vegas. We already have a Times Square. Be who you are.
This is Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, a podcast that explores why Montana leads the nation in entrepreneurship and business startups. I'm Arnie Sherman. What makes a city ripe for entrepreneurship? Is it the fruit of well-conceived planning, a combination of luck and circumstances, or all of the above? Missoula, Montana's tech scene has boomed in the last decade, bringing a steady population increase, immense opportunities, and growing pains. Perhaps no one has a better perspective on this growth than Missoula's current mayor, John Engen. After 14 years in office, Engen is the longest tenured mayor in the city's history. He's been a journalist and a business owner, and as a lifelong Missoulian, he's watched the town change in real time. Today on Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, Mayor John Engen joins me to explore the culture of entrepreneurship in this Rocky Mountain town of 75,000. Mayor Engen and I will discuss how Missoula has adapted to a 21st century business world and the ways a city can cultivate its mindset to encourage entrepreneurship. Production support for Can Do comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans, and from Blackfoot, providing communications solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com. Welcome, Mayor Engen. It's always good to see you.
Thank you for having me. It's delightful.
So tell me, what is special about Missoula, Montana?
The fact that Missoula is still a place. Missoula has largely avoided becoming generic, and I think that's a function of both the natural and built environment. I think it's a function of history and culture. I think it's a function of being a university city. I think it's a function of being a place that experienced a long transition from a resource extractive industry to a service economy. And I really think it's about engaged citizenry, folks who are relentlessly concerned that change will erode the soul of the place. And so I think elected officials, leaders in the community, and our residents are keenly aware that there's a relatively precious balance here, not supported by any scientific data, but a vibe. And vibes are real. And Missoula has one, as do other great cities around the world.
One of the offshoots of this vibe is that we have a tremendous cadre of new startup companies in town and entrepreneurs to go along with them. Why is that? Why has this vibe translated into a startup entrepreneurial economy?
So I can only take it from the horse's mouth, right? So I talk to these folks who are landing in Missoula or folks who are homegrown and building businesses here in Missoula. And what they tell me is that, A, Missoula is still a place, and mostly it's a place where people like to live. It's comfortable, it's interesting, it's safe, it's easy to get around. We have many of the amenities of a metro without the hassles of a metro. So we're most of what people want in a place most of the time, in a convenient and still relatively affordable package.
So this has happened organically. It's a university town, and that helps. The university has encouraged a lot of startups to grow out of its foundation. But now that it's taken hold, is there a conscious effort by the city to sort of continue to cultivate entrepreneurship and business development?
Yeah, I mean, I think a city in Missoula's position could have gone one of two ways. And one is we were a timber town, right? This was a place of lumber mills and rivers and railroad tracks and semi-trucks. And as that industry eroded for all sorts of reasons, I think Missoula had a choice of, we are going to fight tooth and nail relentlessly until our dying breath to make this a timber town. Or we're going to recognize that this change is largely beyond our control. We're going to acknowledge pain. We're going to do our best for the folks who are suffering that pain as a result of that economic tumult. But we're going to move on. And that moving on is, there's a piece of it that's organic, the fact that we live in a beautiful mountain valley in western Montana, that our climate is relatively mild, but still a place with four seasons, that we have a downtown that's interesting. And it turns out that what we have is the stuff that Las Vegas has tried to recreate. So we had some choices, right? Do we build upon that organic foundation that is this place? Or do we scratch and claw back to say, we're going to provide you tax incentives to tip up your lumber mill here? We're going to hang on. And we made that choice, right? This community, and I often say I stand on the shoulders of giants, which is certainly painful for the people upon whom I'm standing. But the fact of the matter is that leadership over the decades recognized that we had something going here that fundamentally can't be recreated. So let's build on that foundation. And so we did. And there's a planning component here. There's an environmental advocacy component here. There's a private sector tenacity around being authentic. All of those things conspire and work together to make a place that's really ripe. And I think that we're now seeing a bunch of red apples.
There's a lot of boom going on and a lot of excitement. There's an imminent creation in the old sawmill district of a tech campus for ATG, one of our locally grown companies that got acquired by global giant Cognizant and now are putting several thousand employees here. Is that a game changer for the community?
I think it's among the game changers for the community. And I recognize that you can't have a boom without a bust. And Missoula and Montana in general, we've been relatively fortunate in that our booms are boomlets and our busts are bustlets. And what feels at play today is a boomlet that has some sustainability. Our eggs aren't in one basket. Our investments are wise and come with a return. You know, the old school model of economic development was come to our place and we'll give you a tax incentive. And the way that model typically played out in most communities is that the next desperate community would offer the next desperate tax incentive and the entity would leave and the community would be left holding the bag. And we're just not in that position. The investment we make is in infrastructure and community resources, all of which have value to these folks who are coming here and establishing businesses and establishing their lives. And I think that's sort of a fundamental difference between what we have elected to do here and continue to do. We ain't for everybody, right? We don't advertise an expectation of Missoula will change to accommodate you. Missoula will work to accommodate you within our value system, but we need you to have skin in the game as well. And the folks who are showing up have skin in the game.
We also have a city planning department that handles most of the traditional things that cities do, but we're also partners with the city as Missoula Economic Partnership. And what kind of role has that played in the creation of this entrepreneurial sector?
So if we go back to 2010 in Missoula, Montana, I stood up in front of a Chamber of Commerce banquet and told folks that Missoula doesn't have an economic development strategy. And 4 years into my tenure as mayor, I found that to be a problem, and a problem for which I was proposing a solution. So we tipped up what we call the Missoula Economic Partnership, and that partnership is comprised of a significant investment on the part of the private sector, as well as a significant investment on the part of the public sector in creating a strategy, a framework, a set of guiding principles that let folks locally and in other places know that we're open for business, Arnie. And that partnership has certainly been, it's been an evolution over the course of the last decade now. But we started with a principle that if you were what we call a best fit company, we're going to be paying attention to you and trying to make you successful in this community. And that meant some recruitment, but it also meant if you were a homegrown company, we wanted to know about you and we wanted to be able to apply whatever whatever resources and tools at our disposal to help you succeed in our community. And that best fit is all about, you know, this is a community that values the natural environment, so you're not going to be a big polluter. That's one of the places we start. You're going to be sustainable, and I'm not talking just about environmental sustainability. You're going to provide a living wage. You're going to be around tomorrow. You are not going to blow in the wind of investor whim. And if you're going to invest in our place, we'll invest in you, and it'll be a real relationship. And again, that best fit notion, the folks who are homegrown and the folks who are landing here, they fit that mold.
So advising other folks or sharing some insights, what are the biggest problems facing cities with a rapid growth?
I spent 4 years on the Missoula City Council before I was elected mayor in 2005. And that time on council was it was another boomlet, right? There was lots of development, mostly housing development, mostly greenfield development, and our planning documents at that time were had largely been created in a vacuum. And we ended up with plans that didn't really reflect those community values, nor did they have the support of the community. So we had a lot of plans that sat on a shelf and regulations we didn't like very much. When I ran for mayor, having served as the chairperson of the Land Use Committee for the City Council, I had seen all of the subdivision and other development activity come through the governing body, and it was painful. It was painful for the development community. It was painful for residents. It was certainly painful for staff, and it was painful for decision makers. And so the first thing we embarked upon when I took office in 2006 was looking at those rules and regulations and our planning documents and really focusing on understanding what the community was interested in and how those community values could be made manifest in our planning documents so that someone coming into our community or someone already in our community who wanted to do development work was aware of those values and had some predictability. We made pretty good strides in that with a number of plans. Our growth policy, I think, is exemplary and was a function of a lengthy public process. This stuff takes time more than anything, and I had to realize that these complex community challenges needed to simmer, and they needed a bunch of sunlight, and they needed argument, and they needed compromise. And so what we've ended up with over the course of the last 14 years are a suite of documents, particularly the foundational planning documents. That's a growth policy. It's a transportation policy. It's a parks master plan. It's a transportation master plan. It's individual master plans for neighborhoods. All of that comes together to create this framework through which we filter projects. It is imperfect. And we have, I think, a real opportunity now to do even better. And we want to steal some ideas from other communities. There's a generally accepted method of engaging in zoning that's much different from what we do. It's called form-based codes. And it's really about outcomes and design more than it is about uses and places. So we hope to march down that path.
We are speaking with Missoula Mayor John Engen about the current entrepreneurial boom in the city. Production support for CanDo comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans, and from Blackfoot, providing communications solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com. You mentioned your journalism career, and so let me use a journalistic reference point here for a moment. Hunter Thompson, in one of his Fear and Loathing books, said, there's a lot of wreckage in the fast lane these days. So we have this economic boom. It's very tech-driven in many ways, the companies around town that are blossoming in the tech arena, and they pay good salaries. They pay better than the average salaries. So what can authorities do? What does the mayor do to ensure that local residents aren't priced out of their neighborhoods?
So I have spent most of my time this first working week, generally speaking, full working week of 2020, talking with my staff about homelessness. We talk about homelessness because there are human beings in my community who are suffering, and I took an oath to serve them. And the corollary in many cases of some people doing well is a lot of people not doing well. And there are things that communities can do and things that I believe our community must do to ensure that we don't exacerbate economic disparity. The cards are stacked against us, right? The system itself is far beyond the power of the mayor of the city of Missoula to alter in significant ways. But within that framework, what are we doing locally to make a difference? And it really comes back to that notion of, you know, as we talk about economic development and the work that we're doing, we define good jobs and living wages. And more what local government is going to need to do is have to fill the gaps that are left by the federal government and to a certain degree the state government's abdication of its role in helping to ensure economic equality among the folks who live in these United States. We're working collaboratively with Missoula County, with the Missoula Housing Authority, with a private developer, and with any partner we can bring to the table, Partnership Health Center included, to build housing for folks who are hardest to house, folks whose circumstances are really, really difficult. But you get them in housing, you get them connected with some services, some are going to succeed. And those who perish, I think, will do so under humane circumstances with care, and we will have tried. And doing nothing ain't good enough anymore. So that's it's a project called Trinity, and it's super low barrier housing. It comes with a navigation center. It all costs money, but it's an investment that's worth making in human beings. And you know, at the end of the day, or at the end of my tenure, or at the end of my life, if I can look back, I will have taken some pride in the shiny and the cool and the new. But I will care more about the folks who suffered less or not at all because we were able to work together.
And it's even beyond that, I believe. So I want to ask you about how important to the economic vibrancy of a town like Missoula is it to be able to provide, you know, parental leave, child care, elder care in terms of attracting a workforce and maintaining a workforce?
It's all very important. You know, I had a conversation late last week, just a brainstorming session, really, with a number of community leaders around daycare. So you're a parent, and you may co-parent, you may be a single parent, and if you've got two little ones, you've got an $1,800 a month nut to crack. And is that keeping you out of the workforce, or is it leaving you underemployed, or you name all of the consequences of having that sort of child care bill once a month? And then add to that, if you're a single parent, in many cases you're a woman. And so what are we doing to women in our workforce on an already uneven playing field? What are we doing to exacerbate the bumps on the field? And all of these solutions, I think, are going to happen at this level. There's just not enough functionality in Congress today, and there ain't a great deal of functionality in the legislature today. So how do we work collaboratively to sort this stuff out? And I don't have, as much as I'd like to, I don't have the answers, but I have a bully pulpit for asking the questions, and in many cases we can come up with solutions.
I want to harken back to a statement you made earlier about boomlets and bustlets. So we're having a booming economy, and it does produce its issues and problems, housing issues, transportation, cost of living, all those sorts of things. But has there been any preparation for a bust scenario for the city?
So we are having those conversations, particularly with the economic partnership, is how are we going to build some resiliency when it comes time in the case of if there is a large layoff, are we in a position to provide some support and help and retraining? What's different today in 2020 versus 1964 when I was born is that the 400 person layoff does not crush the town. And today those layoffs are going to be 30 or 40. But barring that apocalypse, I think our economy is more resilient than it was. A lot of what we're doing is we're a local entrepreneur who has experienced more than a little success once described what he does as importing money. And that import of money is an exchange for smart stuff, for services that people need that to a certain degree are becoming indispensable to them. And we have a lot of folks who are doing that kind of work. And I think that tends to be far more stable than a commodity. These aren't commodities as much as they are necessary tools to continue to engage in commerce of all kinds. And that's a pretty good place to be in, I think.
You're a new entrepreneur listening to the show. What resources are available to help you move your idea or move your company along?
Any investment that you make in the community, depending on where you are, we're going to come to the table with investing in the infrastructure that makes your deal work. That's public infrastructure that lasts for a very long time and has value regardless of whether you stay or go. But we're here to help in that regard. We also rely, and this is a place where the state is enormously helpful, we rely on what are called Big Sky Trust Fund grants. The Missoula Economic Partnership delivers those, administers those on behalf of the state. The last number I was aware of, and it may have changed, Arnie, is about $7,500 in support for a new job that meets a variety of criteria. We'll help you talk about transportation. We'll help you talk about rules and regulations. We are a place where you have pretty remarkable access to local leadership and local government in particular. We are in a position, and our philosophy is that if you've got a good thing going that's going to add value here, we're going to try to get to yes. We are providing you a pretty remarkable workforce. And what goes missing, I think, in the continuing commoditization of education in our country, what goes missing is the value of people who can think and talk and deal with humans and have some degree of emotional intelligence. And I will tell you that the University of Montana is a place that churns out people who can do all of those things. It also comes with people who actually love their place, want to live here, want to be successful, want to have families and do all of the things that human beings like to do in a place they call home. So we've got workforce, we've got financial resources, we've got infrastructure. We have the place, we have the fundamental planning documents, we have predictability. and we don't have some of the things that a lot of other places have, right? As I suggested, you know, our rush hour is a rush minute. We have great access in and out via Missoula International Airport. We have relatively low rate of crime. A lot of the frustrations of metros just aren't at play here.
So, Mayor, as we're talking about economic development, are there policies that you conscientiously avoid, or are there situations that have happened in other cities that you've seen and want to make sure we don't engage in here?
From a land use perspective, it's very important that we don't intentionally or unintentionally through our regulations separate class and income and all of that, right? We have to have multifamily and single family in neighborhoods. Because you look at the neighborhoods that are most beloved in our community, and they were likely tipped up before zoning, and there is a diversity of what's called missing middle, right? We can regulate ourselves into a box. So I just mounted the 1965 Missoula Comprehensive Growth Plan in my office, and it lives on a poster-sized sheet of paper. There's probably a 1,000-word narrative and a land use map that has 5 color keys, right? And the lion's share of this thing is orange, and orange is single-family standalone residence, right? And so we zoned a whole bunch of people out of the community in 1965. That's not the case today, but the remnants of that exist today.
Let me lean on your years of experience in office. What are the key priorities for other cities that are envious of Missoula and want to grow? If you're advising other mayors, what do you tell them?
Make a place, right? Be who you are. You know, every community in Montana has a mayor or a council member or a county executive or an elected official who's going to throw dirt at other communities, right? So, you know, Missoula and Bozeman, Montana, which has the other large university in the state here, the sort of relentless rivalry, you know, Missoula's rap on Bozeman, we refer to it as Bozangeles, right? It's slick and inauthentic and has largely been overtaken by outsiders and has lost authenticity. But if you're the mayor of Bozeman, Cindy Andrus, who I happen to know, she has pride in her place and she knows better than all of that. So be who you are and celebrate who you are. Don't try to be Missoula, you know, be the best Bozeman you can be the best Butte you can be. Rely on that which is unique about your place and that which is authentic and build upon all that authenticity, right? We already got a Las Vegas. We already have a Times Square. Be who you are.
Okay, using your mayoral crystal ball, what do you envision Missoula to be like, feel like, act like 5-10 years from now?
There are going to be more people. There will be a slightly more hipster vibe. I can now live in the retirement home where my mother lives. I am eligible by age. There are all sorts of reasons that's not going to happen, including my mother's wishes. But she's 90 and has some opinions, as it turns out. It's going to be a little more inconvenient. All the stuff that comes with more people and building a compact community so that we don't ruin the authenticity and the natural state of the place, there are sacrifices to be made for that. It's going to feel a little tighter. It's going to feel a little busier. But it's also going to be really interesting. And we are going to continue to build upon those community values. You know, I don't have a conversation around development that isn't also a conversation around parks, right, and open space. I don't have a conversation around development that doesn't talk about traffic and walkability and other transportation issues. So we're going to make those investments in the things that continue to matter to Missoulians. When we do a resident survey, I hear a number of things, but in particularly our last survey, really loudly and clearly, folks are concerned about property taxes. So we are working on finding new revenue for not only the city of Missoula, but cities around the state to help defray property taxes and have more people pay their fair share for enjoying this place that we love. People are concerned about streets. And streets connotes many things. I think in some cases, some folks don't want to ever see another damn pothole in their life. And I get that. And mayors live and die on filling potholes. And so we're paying, of course, attention to that. But they also mean traffic and access and ability to get from place to place. And they're concerned about housing. They want, you know, the American dream continues to be that ability to live comfortably in a place and realize some return on the investment in that place. And home ownership is a piece of that puzzle for us. And so we're working hard on that. Each one of these concerns or priorities has complexity and will take time to resolve. But I continue to think that if we are not intentional and if we do nothing, there's a fairly guaranteed result. If we do something and are intentional, I think we move the needle.
And with that, Mayor Engen, it sums up to me in a slogan for Missoula that I want to share with you, which you can steal from me if you like, which is Missoula, big enough to hold the future.
I like it, Ernie.
Good, thank you. I appreciate your being with me today. I get reinvigorated about the town I live in, and thank you for being our mayor.
It is my pleasure. Thank you. It's a privilege.
I appreciate your listening to Can Do Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, produced by Peter Hoag and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guest contact information and content from all our shows. Join us next time when our topic will be how federal trade policy affects Montana imports and exports. Once again, I'm Arnie Sherman, wishing you peace and prosperity.